Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And here we go. Welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for joining us on another most scintillating hour in finance radio. Anyway, great show. Excited to be here. A lot of stuff to cover. And the news just keeps on rolling in. If it's not interesting, kind of stumbled on that one there. It's nothing if not interesting, is what I meant to say. Darren should have been backing me up on that one. It's that millennial back in action. So great show plan. Had a lot of Boeing in the news. And one of the reasons we discuss individual stocks without giving recommendations, right? No buy, no sell, can't do that. If you're a client, we certainly can. And listen, I nor anyone else is going to be 100% right. It doesn't exist. As a matter of fact, when we look at the best investors in the world, Warren Buffett among them, Stanley Druckenmiller, what we see typically is the best win rates, right? The highest percentage of successful stock picks, right? Good ones, bad ones, losers, winners. That's what I mean. So a stock pick that wins, does what you think it's going to do versus lose. But the highest percentage of winners we see typically is about 65%. So what that means is 35% of the time, the best are wrong. And in no way do I try to make the argument that I surpass that. That's not the point. The reason we discuss individual issues or individual stocks, guys, is A, because I love to do it. I think researching individual stocks and looking at individual companies, because they are their own little unique environment, right? They're their own unique living, breathing thing. It's a company. It's got a culture. It's got a way they go about doing things. It has a style. And understanding all of those aspects helps us make investment decisions. And so the reason we discuss them is, I'm not going to lie to you, it's to differentiate ourselves. Because I know, because I've been in it and worked at several of the biggest firms on the street, that all too often the modern financial advisor is a financial product salesman. Okay, you're not getting anything from them that you cannot get on your own. And unfortunately, what we see is the fees associated with financial advisory. And I'm skipping right into it this week, aren't I? We're going to do a market update, but I wanted to address this issue because Boeing, we're going to revisit Boeing, been in the news. But I just wanted to lay the groundwork for why we do this. Because the modern financial advisory system, and it's good people, well-intentioned people, like I've said over and over, I'm kind of surprised. The vast majority of financial advisors, whether they do a good job for their clients or not, they're good people with good intentions, right? But unfortunately, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And I don't believe in the times that we are currently living in that good intentions are going to be enough to carry the day. There needs to be a level of competency. And if you don't believe me, look at your portfolio over the last 10 years, preferably 11. Look at it over the last 20 and look at the return assumptions that you were supposed to get. Think back on that, right? Accountability. We say at our firm and say it in my house, and it was said to me growing up. Accountability is not bad for anybody. It's not always fun. Ask my kids, right? Accountable for the grades. Accountable for the teacher conferences. Had some teacher conferences recently. It's kind of a bad deal. You know, my wife goes to, I had to miss some this year. I usually go, Darren, because I'm involved. You know, I want to be involved. And but I always feel a little guilty at parent-teacher conference time. Because having to be the bad cop now, it just feels wrong. Like, I want to look at him and go, hey, you know, don't sweat it. Because I was paranoid at parent-teacher conference. I wasn't a bad kid. But you know, I was pushing the limits, talking too much, you know, talking out of turn. And let's put it this way. My parents never walked into a classroom and was like, your son is just the sterling example of behavior, right? Did you have that? Were you ever nervous about parent-teacher conferences?
You know, I can't remember them at all.
Really?
Like any of them.
Really?
So I wonder if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Maybe I blacked them out.
Probably means you were more well-behaved than I was.
They were just boring, nothing events for me.
When my mom was going to, because usually my dad was working too, but when my mom was going to parent-teacher conferences, I swear I heard the do 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 do. It was like the march to the gallows. I just knew it was just bad business. And looking back on it, I was a good kid. You know, just a little too rambunctious, talked out of turn. And it's shocking to anybody that's heard this radio show before. But anyway, yeah. So, but I tell the kids this, right? Accountability is good for you. It's good for you. And one of the ways we hold our advisors accountable. Now, I would encourage you this to be fair to them. Do it over longer terms, right? We can't look at, well, there are circumstances. That's not true. What you want to look at, guys, if you're evaluating performance, and I'll just let you know, if you really want to evaluate performance, you can give us a call. And we have a program that analyzes, and it's the program, it analyzes every aspect of your portfolio. It reveals where there's overlap in the portfolio. It reveals where the hidden expenses are. It's a great tool to reevaluate. And listen, sometimes we've done it and portfolio has been good. So it's not it's a completely unbiased deal. It's not like we created it to make other portfolios look bad. But what we see consistently is that this happened with my own family, my own mother-in-law, that portfolios over periods of time have significantly underperformed the expectations that we had going in. And what concerns me is there's going to be periods of underperformance in everything that we do, right? It's part of the game, right? The S&P underperforms. Matter of fact, the S&P has underperformed its historical average for the last 20 years, right? But every time you go sit down and talk to a financial advisor, he's going to tell you, well, stocks are going to average 11% a year, right? Well, if we're looking in 100-year increments, sure, that's been the average. But I don't know a retirement that spans 100 years. And if it does, God bless you and give me your nutritional and exercise regimen because, I mean, that's some staying power. But it's just kind of crazy that we're talking about 100-year averages and we're not looking at things in terms of risk management. Right? I mean, think about this. We've got portfolios, right, where the return assumptions, the whole thing, the income planning, you know, how you're going to pay for the trip for Florida for your grandkids in 2023, how you're going to help fund your granddaughter's, college tuition in 2026, all of these things. And we got the income plans with the graphs and the charts and all looks so organized, but it's all based off return assumptions. And those return assumptions have come in somewhere on average between 30 to 50% shy of the estimate. But moreover, despite this long run of exceptionally high volatility and you know, missing the mark by 30 to 50% based on what the portfolio was supposed to do, they've made no changes. They've made no changes. So what are you paying for? So accountability is good for everybody. And we deal with that. Hey, we have a bad quarter. You got to sit there. You got to face some music. And if the music isn't getting faced, then that what that means, and we know it with our kids, we know it with ourselves, what does that mean? When there's no accountability, when we're not making them back up why they did what they did and why we're not changing even though it hasn't worked. To expect it all of a sudden to work is the definition of insanity. Right? We're doing the same thing over and over and over again, and maybe because we don't want to offend the advisor, maybe it's because we don't want... This is your future. Accountability is good. And we believe in it. And we need to hold... I mean, this is the rest of your life. There should be a big amount of accountability. Right? So, anyway, we want to get into Boeing because accountability is good for everybody. Right? I think we need to inject a little accountability there. And remember, when we address Boeing, I got tons of clients to work at Boeing. Salt of the earth people. I got a bunch of clients that are coming on board currently that are Boeing employees or ex-Boeing employees. Fantastic people. Got family that worked at Boeing. Worked there for decades. Got employees whose parents work at Boeing. Still, this is no, we're not talking about Boeing. We're talking about the management. And we'll get into that. And so getting back to why we talk, right, accountability. Why do we talk about single stocks? We talk about single stocks because to break down, it's not me sticking my chest out, but to break down an individual stock requires a certain amount of competence and training and practice. And we want to demonstrate that to you. And what we see in the financial advisory world is that knowledge is absent. Right? They're not thinking that way. And if you're looking for, hey, you know, if you listen to the show and you're sitting there, you know, I like the what this guy is, and I'm assuming there's some of you that don't too, right? It's part of the game. But if you're sitting there wondering, does this guy know what he's talking about? You know, I've always said radio's a double-edged sword. Right? Whatever you say is out there on record, right or wrong. And if you're wrong, it ain't going anywhere. Especially when you podcast it, right? It's on the internet. It's going to live forever. But I'd encourage you to go back through the podcast and listen to the show we did this year, March 1st. This year, 2019. It was 5 or 6 days before the second plane crashed. And the reason why is because at that time, everybody still thought the crash with Malaysian Air was an aberration, right? Stuff happens. And that's the way it is. And I think all too often in society today, when something bad happens, we're looking for scapegoats, right? We're looking to blame somebody. When the truth is that bad things happen. And everybody was extending to Boeing, you know, that level of, you know, understanding, right? It's probably not their fault, right? It's just a operator error condition, you know, who knows, right? And I was too at that point, but between the first crash and the second crash, the stock had taken a bit of a hit. And so we started looking at it, right? Because we're value investors. We want to buy things that have taken a hit. And the thought process behind it was simple. Look, this hasn't changed anything. This is probably an overreaction. Boeing's a good company. But the deeper and deeper we dug, we found a lot of troubling signs. And it led somewhere where, quite honestly, I didn't expect. And we came on the show in March 1st, 2019, it's time stamped, and revealed our findings. And those findings included 7 different interviews we had done with Boeing employees at various different levels and the various different stations of the company. And one of the things that frustrates me is when you want to get to know a company, talking to the employees, multiple, you can't just trust one. You can't just trust employees from a certain department. But talking to employees is far more beneficial than talking to management because you hear what's going on the ground. And management's going to spin you. That's what they do. Right? Not to mention the fact that 80 to 90% of their compensation with big companies like Boeing is tied up in stock, right? So the image The image is everything. We got to keep that going. We got to keep the, you know, the parade and keep everybody clapping. And that's part of the deal. You're not going to get the straight story. So anyway, I've gone on and on about this, but we want to hold it accountable and we want to hold ourselves accountable. That's why we made comments and warnings about Netflix. Didn't give any advice, but just said, careful. Netflix was at 430, 440 a share. Same with Boeing. Same with tech, right? Tech stocks this year have had a really, well, great run up at the beginning of the year, but they've been smacked big time. A lot of the ones yielding, you know, leading the way. And the reason we address that is because, listen, while the average financial advisor that's putting together a portfolio of mutual funds or ETFs, he may not need to evaluate individual stocks, but what are those mutual funds? What are those mutual funds and ETFs made up of? They're made up of stocks. You need a deeper level of analysis. It's also the way you tell if somebody really knows what they're talking about. And so what I would say to you, like I said, go back and check out the show, March 1st. Remember the volatility blow up last January? Go back and listen to the shows from November and December of 2017. We were warning about that. And guys, we live in a different world now, obviously. That should be painfully apparent. And you need a different level of insight. You need a different level of research. You need a different level of, you know, looking out for the landmines and seeing it coming. And every once in a while, those landmines can become incredible opportunities, but not if you're just riding with it. And listen, if you just want to ride with it, that's just what you want to do, fine. Just go do it yourself. Don't pay somebody. We ran a portfolio analysis for a client, $5 million portfolio. And loaded up with mutual funds, decent funds. There were some not so decent funds in there. Ran our portfolio analysis. And what we showed was that over the next 25 years, throughout their retirement, they were going to pay $1.3 million in fees to own mutual funds. Think about that. I mean, you know, if you've got an extra $1.3 million laying around, and guys, they weren't being charged exorbitant fees. One of the funny things, we do our portfolio analysis and everybody is always shocked what their real fees are because they've got the advisory fee they're paying the advisor, but virtually all of these funds have some type of underlying cost involved. And they're just always shocked. And the question we have is, do you feel like you're getting value from that? And I mean, if you're going to pay somebody $1.3 million to manage your money over the next 20, they better be good. And if they're just giving you market performance, then go buy the S&P 500 ETF and don't pay a dime. Oh, that's crazy. Anyway, market update. I've rambled here, but market update, guys. Oh, truthfully, not a lot has gone on this week, kind of going back and forth. Markets have been running. That's kind of what we've been calling for. It just looked like we had a breakout on our hands. It'll be really interesting to see what happens here. We got the S&P bumping right up against 3,100. Anytime we get to round numbers like 31 or 3,000, there's not any real significance to it, but there's psychological significance. And typically we see interesting things happen around those round numbers. So it's nothing we want to dig into. It's, you know, you're kind of reading the chicken bones a little bit if you're looking at that kind of stuff. But nonetheless, people respond to it. Investors respond. Remember, markets are driven primarily by emotion. We're made up of people. Can't help it. But other than that, not a lot. Not a lot. Economic news, this whole yellow light flashing thing on the economy is continuing. I don't see significant deterioration. There were some really, really ugly numbers coming out of the Chicago on their PMI indexes, the Purchasing Managers Index, which is kind of a forecast of business coming up in the next several quarters. Some really ugly numbers, downright recessionary, but those can happen. Again, you know, got to take everything with a grain of salt. When we see all, you know, areas of the country showing that those signs simultaneously, that is much more conclusive. We can't overreact. But listen, the narrative of a raging economy, it's eroding, and it's just not factual, right? Is the employment market still strong? Yes. Is it raging? No. 125,000 new jobs is not raging. Now, the flip side is you've got full unemployment, okay? So you're not going to keep tacking on jobs at 225,000 per month or per quarter. You know, it's, you can't keep it up. Right. So again, I would say yellow lights, not a lot of red lights. One red light continues to be valuation. Again, even with our own clients, we've seen it over and over and over. People are watching this market run up and they're like, oh, that's reflective of the economy. No, it's not. Okay. Earnings are down this year. Pull on CNBC, you won't even see it. I was reading a CNBC article the other day that said people worried there was going to be an earnings recession, but that fear passed because we had positive earnings last quarter. Guys, I don't know what they're talking about. That is wrong. Okay, we have had two quarters of negative earnings, meaning, again, not red lights, not plunging, slowing. Right? And it looks like we're going to have three. That is an earnings recession, period. Doesn't mean a real recession is absolutely coming, but those signs continue to stack up. Now, we could still be 2 years out. You know, but the thing that bothers me a little bit is we were historically expensive really for the last 2 years and probably longer than that, maybe the last four. Okay, the thing that concerns me now is you've got this market run up with falling earnings, which means stocks are getting more expensive. This run-up in stocks is not supported by fundamentals currently. This is all about projections, and it's about valuations further detaching from underlying fundamentals. That cannot keep up. Am I saying it's ending tomorrow? No. Right? Just saying that, you know, we be careful. Don't get caught holding the bag and manage your risk. And don't get washed out to sea. Because we all, you know, look, these things are inevitable, right? Bad things happen. It's what we talked about with Boeing. And Boeing's a perfect illustration of what I'm talking about when I talk about valuations. It doesn't mean a company's bad. Doesn't mean a company's going to zero. What it means is when you're buying things that are priced to perfection in an imperfect world, get ready to be disappointed. And the fact is, the vast majority of people out there that are buying stocks right now are buying them priced to perfection. And we just know perfection doesn't play out. Why do we buy into it? Greed blinds us. And we don't properly manage our risk. We don't keep a level head. And that's what we do. That's what we specialize in. Anyway, other than that, as far as the market update goes, had some interesting earnings, had some miss. Have seen some really nasty misses, actually. Have seen some okay. Disney announced good earnings yesterday. Stock popped quite a bit. I think we're up at 140. I'll check that right now. But woof. Boy, it pulled back quite a bit. We were up at 140, pulled back to 137. But solid quarter nonetheless. It's you know, markets have had that upward bias still, but there's just not a lot of meat to it. So we'll continue to keep an eye on things. But guys, again, I can't enforce the need. And I think that the class that we're doing next Saturday, 9 to 11 a.m., the Bellevue Hyatt, it's a great place, by the way. Love that place. It's the Hawks deal, right? That's where the Hawks stay before the game. And we're actually doing our class in the room that the Seahawks do their meeting the night before the game. It's a really, really cool room. I know. It's going to be a great opportunity. If you've listened to the radio show, you're curious about how we do things. We're going to take an hour. It's 9 to 11, but we just said that. It's going to be an hour long, and then we do Q&A. We're in the Q&A, we're going to take on economic topics because we talk a lot about economics. And basically, guys, it's going to be a radio show, but same show that we put on every week. But we're going to do it at the class, get a chance to meet listeners, which is always fun. Class is filling up a lot faster than it had in the past. So call and reserve a seat. Seats are free. No one's going to twist your arm for anything. This is just a chance to show you our process in person, walk you through our portfolios, how we manage risk, how we set up retirement income plans, answer all your questions about how to take Social Security. Do you need estate planning? Do you need long-term care? We're going to walk you through the whole process like we talk about on Dory's show that we ran he and his wife through. Okay, our whole planning process and our investment planning process, the whole thing. Answer all your questions. So if nothing else, even if you're a home gamer, feel free to come, have some coffee, have some rolls, and we can, look, like I said, this isn't like we're going to dangle the carrot and to get the answer, you've got to come see us. We're not going to do that. Okay. So we're just going to arm you with information, give you the facts. And anyway, love to see you. It's always fun to meet other listeners and meet people. And especially people that listen to this radio station, right? A lot of like minds. That's coded language, right? I don't want to trigger anybody. I don't want to get too politically biased here. But anyway, it's even just fun. I'm sure you all feel like that, right? Just fun to meet people of like minds. So anyway, I think it's going to be a blast. 9 to 11, Bellevue Hyatt next weekend. Again, we chose that strategically, people. We're not making reckless one-off decisions here. That's bye week for the Seahawks and the Huskies. We've got our priorities. I would never expect you to miss a Husky game to come to a financial seminar. And if you did, I'd have serious questions about you. Anyway, we got to get rolling. So that's it for the market update. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Boeing. A lot of news. Want to give you guys updates. We've made this kind of a focal talking point, taking a lot of flack for it. So anyway, we want to revisit it. But again, if you want to register for the class next weekend, go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You can sign up for it on our website. You can email us if you don't want to sign up, don't want to go through the process. You can also call 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. And maybe you don't want to go to the class, but you want to talk about it. You want to meet with me and you want to get that whole process. Want me to break it down for you in person, show you exactly how we do things, show you the fees, show you how we drastically reduce your fees, drastically reduce your downside risk, but improve your upside. And that is something everybody should want. One of the most frustrating things that I encounter sometimes is you run into portfolio. Now, listen, there are times where I run into clients with portfolios and I go, look, I think we can improve you here and here, but it's a bit subjective. This is a pretty good portfolio. There are other times there are aspects of finance that are not subjective. They're objective. They're just simply are or they're not, right? They're binary. It's either better or it's worse. It's so frustrating me sometimes because people are married to what they've got. And you look at them and go, I wish I could download this information into your head because this is better. It's unequivocally better. Right? That's what we're going to show you. How do we drastically reduce your fees, drastically reduce your risk, and increase your upside at the same time. It's not all or nothing, guys. So go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Call us 866-779-RISK. Join us next week at the seminar. Sign up for it on our, and it's not a seminar. I hate that word. Class, meeting. It's an investment meeting of like-minded people. That's what it is. Anyway, look forward to seeing you guys. We've got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
One of the biggest mistakes you can make heading into retirement is not planning for the high costs of an extended healthcare situation. A lot of people assume they have enough money saved only to watch everything they've worked hard for get whittled down to nothing from the ongoing costs of a long-term care situation. Do not make this mistake. By putting a long-term care plan in place, you guarantee yourself a source of funds to pay for care when needed, and you also know you won't become a burden on your family. Do what my wife and I did. Go learn about the all-new long-term care plans offered by 525 Advisors. These new plans protect your savings, protect your family, and pay you back if you never use them. Learn more by attending one of the upcoming classes taught by Brian Ott, who's host of Long-Term Care Radio right here on Cairo. Brian has a long-term care planning class coming up Saturday, November 16th. Seating is limited, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. It's a free class. You'll get a copy of Brian's book, too. 525longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Brian Ott from 525 Advisors and host of Long Term Care Radio. And Brian, we have another great question from a listener. What happens if I don't use my long-term care insurance?
You know, Dory, nobody likes to pay for something they don't use. In the past, if you never used your long-term care insurance, the premiums you paid were simply gone, just like homeowners or car insurance. But you know what? Things have changed. We now have new programs that will pay you back even if you don't use them for long-term care. You can find out about all the new programs, including ones that pay you back, at 525longtermcare.com. While you are there, you can send us your question and even sign up for a free class. And don't forget to join us every Saturday morning on Cairo for Long Term Care Radio.
Brian has a long-term care planning class coming up Saturday, November 16th. Seating is limited, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. Classes are free. You'll even get a copy of Brian's book, which has a ton of great info. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham.
Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right. Welcome back, and let's get right into it. Boeing, hot topic. As a matter of fact, I think that Boeing is probably the hottest topic, which shouldn't surprise anybody, right? It's regional. A lot of people who work here. And I want to reiterate something. When I am talking about Boeing, I do not think the company is going away. I don't think the company is in danger of going bankrupt. I don't think there's going to be mass layoffs. And I am certainly, absolutely not indicting the ability or the integrity of the employees. All of my experience actually points to the opposite, that they are salt of the earth people. They work hard. They are clients. They are family. They are friends. However, I cannot say the same about management. And when you, anytime you launch a research into a company like Boeing that has so many ties to this area, that has played a role in so many of your financial lives, you want to be careful. And I was explaining to my wife just last night that I remember the show that we aired on March 1st. I brought forth what we had found because I wanted to warn people, because I have clients and friends and family that have significant amounts of their net worth in Boeing stock. And I told them all the same thing. I said, listen, nobody knows what a stock's going to do in the short run. But what I am telling you is this thing is priced to perfection, and there are a lot of bad signs. Just issue a warning. The other reason we do it is because people have, because Boeing is what it is, people have an abnormal and an unhealthy amount of faith in companies like that. And they are willing to put in 25, 50, I've even seen 100% of retirement savings in one stock, like a Boeing. If you got a 3 to 5% chunk of the stock, they, look, you want to take that gamble, that's fine. I'm investing other people's money. And when I see a stock or a company and management that display those types of characteristics, that is not a risk I am willing to take with my clients' money. I am not advising you sell the stock. I am not advising you short the stock. And that's not what we do here. Just kind of letting you know the way that I see it. But I sat there and listened to these congressional interviews of the current CEO, Muhlenberg. And the thing that really got me was when he was acting all contrite, sad, remorseful, and said, I'm going to forgo my bonus. Did you hear this, Darren? In response to everything going on with Boeing, he said, look, I'm going to forgo my bonuses. That was the cross he had laid across his own back.
And a pay cut now, apparently.
Oh, no, well, yeah, because it was so disgusting. And if people really want to know the truth, when a man stands up there where his decisions and his governance of a company has resulted in the death of 340 people, reduced earnings of a publicly traded company, damaged his employees' 401k plan, and he says he's going to forego his bonus. The question I had is, Dennis, what would it take for you to not get bonused? Right?
So, yeah, he was going to get one anyway, and he chose not to accept it.
Right.
Noble.
Right. And I go, boy, that's a big price to be paid. Wouldn't put it quite on the same level as the price your passengers paid. But you know, way to be a stand-up guy. And what it shows you is the detachment. I don't know the guy personally. I don't want to make this a personal attack. I just want to say that was one of the most disgusting displays of. Again, I don't want to label the guy, but it sounded sociopathic. You're already a multi tens of millions of dollars rich guy, and you're going to forego your bonus? Do you have to start a nuclear war not to get bonused? I mean, what is the criteria for not being bonused? Then it prompted us to look deeper, and we relied on some other people's research. And what we found is that when Mr. Muhlenberg took over as chairman of the board of Boeing, they promptly reworked the stock compensation plan. And since late 2015, early 2016, when he assumed 2015 is when he became CEO, 2016 is when he became chairman of the board. Since then, the board has issued themselves and upper management the equivalent of $5.1 billion worth of stock. $5.1 billion worth of stock. At the same time, they launched debt finance stock buybacks to the tune of $9 billion a year. So they were issuing stock to management, buying the stock back. So that costs the company money. Then going $9 billion a year into debt to buy stock back. And I mean, listen, call me a skeptic. Okay, that's fine. I can deal with that. But yet reward yourselves $5.1 billion worth of stock on top of your multi-million dollar salaries. And you launch a debt finance stock buyback at the same time. Could that possibly be you wanting to be able to sell your stock into a market without hurting the stock's price? So you have the company step in there via debt and buy almost two times the amount of stock at the same time? Which is essentially you transferring money from debt that the company has taken out directly into your pocket. Now, again, he didn't do that for the employees. The managers on the factory floor didn't get any of that action. This reeks, guys. And then they're all trying to say, hey, look, it's a software glitch. It was an oversight. There's a combination. It's absolutely not true. Okay. The Malaysian Air flight that went down first happened because in an effort to improve profitability and going again, and I've talked to these people, okay? I talked to people that were there, that were a part of this decision-making process. The engineers and the maintenance crews all said, guys, you need to put sensors on both wings. Management came back and said, we will, if they offer to pay an upgrade. Those guys came back and said, wait a second, that would be the only part of the airplane that doesn't have redundancy built into it. That's a huge problem, especially because our corporate mandate and what we've all been taught and what we've all been and been indoctrinated with is everything we do has to have double and triple redundancy. Oh, this will be fine. This will be fine. You're too worried about it. Why didn't they put sensors on both wings? Profitability. You could get them, but you had to pay the upgrade price. So what happens on the Malaysian air flight? They take off. Bird hits the one sensor on the wing and boom, it's all she wrote. Plane goes down. That fast. I literally sat there and talked to maintenance managers for the whole West Coast area of their fleet, engineers that have worked on the planes, and they said, we tried to warn them, didn't listen. What you are seeing is a company that has been taken over by CPAs and they're stripping it. The company will be fine. They'll be around. But they're stripping it in an effort to artificially boost the earnings so they can all enrich themselves. That's what you're watching. And no one's holding them accountable. They're all asking questions about the software system. Look, I don't think the software system is the big issue. I think it's all the things surrounding it. Why did they rush it to production? Okay? It's because they were solely focused on profit. And they have a moral responsibility. They have a societal responsibility. We fly on those planes, you guys. I just sat there and I thought, people that are already worth tens of millions of dollars, knowingly, and I don't think they're bad guys. I don't think they were sitting back going, well, me saying I don't think they're bad guys. Look, I hate judging people that I don't know, and I just judge not lest you be judged. What I know is they're grotesquely irresponsible. And they're way too driven by money. And there's a really disgusting, ugly aspect to that. Because you knowingly went against protocol to boost profit and 340 people died as a result. Period. It wasn't was there pilot error involved? Yes, maybe perhaps a great, more experienced pilot could have done it. But the point is it was a vulnerability. And all you need to know is it's the only dang thing on the plane that didn't have redundancy built into it. And the reason it didn't was not because it wasn't available. It's because you had to pay an upgrade price. And if you think, and I said it March 1st before the second plane went down. If it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and walks like a duck, it's not a goat. It's not a cow.
You add up all these things. You talk to the people on the ground, and it's pretty clear. People looked at me and they go, how'd you know Boeing stock was going to drop? And I said, I didn't know Boeing stock was going to drop, and I said that on the show. What I knew is that the company was priced to perfection, and the way that they were achieving those earnings is completely unsustainable, and the way they're buying back stock is unsustainable, and management is making incredibly short-sighted decisions, and it is only a matter of time until the shareholders bear the brunt of that, because you're not getting awarded stock options. Are you? No. Even those like me who were born believing that free market capitalism is the greatest wealth generator and the greatest lever to get out of poverty, to defend free market capitalism, we have to call out when it goes over the line. And it went way over the line in this case. And 340 people paid the ultimate price. And that means that poor Dennis M. has got to forego his bonuses. Not have to, he chose to out of the kindness of his heart. I'm like, hey, Dennis, I'd have preferred out of the kindness of your heart for you not to chintz on redundancy building being built into your airplanes so the 340 people wouldn't have died to begin with. And look, I've gotten calls. I've taken flack for this. I'm sure I will again. But I'm not going to sit up here and sugarcoat what is disgusting. And it really threatens all of us. And threatens an incredibly historic, efficient, competent company that employs so many of our friends and family and puts their jobs at risk. They're not going to come pull Dennis Muhlenberger's $40 million, $50 million for him if everything goes to heck in a handbasket. It's going to be the machinist that gets laid off. It's going to be his stock plan that drops by 70%. It's just disgusting. And I know that that's probably not the greatest solicitation for you guys to call us to get financial advice. But if you want to avoid those kind of pitfalls, right? And if you want people that are really looking under the hood, guys, and watching out for landmines so you don't get blown up, which should be the number one job of a fiduciary, right? First and foremost, take what we call the financial Hippocratic Oath. Do no harm. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @KYRRadio. Go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Sign up for the class. It's coming out next at the Bellevue Hyatt from 9 to 11 next Saturday morning, bye week for Hawks and Dogs. See how I keep plugging that? It's important to me. And you can sign up for that on the website. You can email us directly if you want a portfolio review. Email us directly. We can do it via email. We can do it over the phone. You can get our Common Sense Investing booklet where we talk about our investment products that have no fees. They get 50% upside to the stock market in general, depending on the product, but they're also insured and guaranteed against loss, our bond replacement program. You guys know the drill. Anyway, give us a call. Go to the website. Hope to see you next week. Stick with us through the break. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Brian Ott from 525 Advisors and host of Long Term Care Radio. And Brian, we have another great question from a listener. What happens if I don't use my long-term care insurance?
You know, Dory, nobody likes to pay for something they don't use. In the past, if you never used your long-term care insurance, the premiums you paid were simply gone, just like homeowners or car insurance. But you know what? Things have changed. We now have new programs that will pay you back even if you don't use them for long-term care. You can find out about all the new programs, including ones that pay you back, at 525longtermcare.com. While you are there, you can send us your question and even sign up for a free class. And don't forget to join us every Saturday morning on Cairo for Long Term Care Radio.
Brian has a long-term care planning class coming up Saturday, November 16th. Seating is limited, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. Classes are free. You'll even get a copy of Brian's book, which has a ton of great info. Go to 525longtermcare.com. One of the biggest mistakes you can make heading into retirement is not planning for the high costs of an extended healthcare situation. A lot of people assume they have enough money saved only to watch everything they've worked hard for get whittled down to nothing from the ongoing costs of a long-term care situation. Do not make this mistake. By putting a long-term care plan in place, you guarantee yourself a source of funds to pay for care when needed, and you also know you won't become a burden on your family. Do what my wife and I did. Go learn about the all-new long-term care plans offered by 525 Advisors. These new plans protect your savings, protect your family, and pay you back if you never use them. Learn more by attending one of the upcoming classes taught by Brian Ott, who's host of Long-Term Care Radio right here on Cairo. Brian has a long-term care planning class coming up Saturday, November 16th. Seating is limited, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. It's a free class. You'll get a copy of Brian's book, too. 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back, and I'm still fired up. For those of you that don't join us, I went on one of my tirades about Boeing. Again, no knock on the employees. Love them, family, clients, friends. But management. Management that endangers everybody for the sake of enriching themselves. And if we didn't have management making decisions like this all too often, we wouldn't see surging poll numbers for the likes of Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. And I am one of the biggest defenders of free market capitalism, yet at the same time, I also blame it for a lot of the fire it's under. Because first of all, it has become this abomination of this blending of capitalism with a government that has socialistic tendencies, and it's the worst for all involved. And if you don't believe me, why is it that we've got the widest wealth gap in the history of this company, including going back to the 20s? The Great Depression. And they all blame free market capitalism for it, but nobody's got the stones to stand up and say, wait a second, this isn't free market capitalism. Artificially jocking down rates like the Fed has done for the last 25 years benefits disproportionately the people that own assets. Not only that, but it benefits the guy with the biggest balance sheet because he can borrow the most amount of money and he can go swamp out other competitive bids. And he can buy up his competitors, and you get more and more consolidation in industries. And guess what? You end up with less competition. Less competition equals lower wages and higher profits. It's not free market capitalism. It's the government picking winners and losers via monetary policy executed by yours truly, the Federal Reserve. Now, they'll never cop to it. And they won't cop to it because the same people that enrich themselves under their policies hire the likes of Ben Bernanke for $1, $2, and $2.5 million a year to act as a consultant. So Big Ben comes out of the Eccles building, the Federal Reserve, when he's done, acting with courage to save the financial crisis, to save the economy. Never mind he's the one that struck the match. They saved it. They had the courage to act. They had so much courage. They were able to print $3.7 trillion of the taxpayers' dollars and hand it out to their buddies and bolster their balance sheets. That's courage, right, guys? Right? They paid the bill with your money while their salary was never in jeopardy. Their pension was never in jeopardy. And then they leave office and they get hired for millions a year, get their $10 million book deal from the same people who they enriched. That ain't capitalism. That certainly ain't free markets. That's rigged markets. It's an oligarchy. It's the veneer of capitalism. Because capitalism truly does. Free markets truly do bring more people out of poverty than any other economic system in the history of mankind. But it's not happening. Oh, capitalism's broken. We don't have capitalism. That's what's broken. Capitalism requires competition. Everywhere we go, we see consolidation. Every time you see consolidation with companies, think lack of competition. And I'm just tired of sitting here listening to people tell me capitalism's broken down. And I go, wait a second. We don't have it. We don't have it. You've literally tilled the... Gets frustrating, Darren. And then you hear different sides fighting about, right? Like,
oh, it's blame capitalism. No, it's the liberty. You know, it's this unholy union of both sides, really what it is. And we sit there as listeners and viewers and voters, get all fired up about the political issues, and 98% of these guys are greasing each other's hands, smiling behind closed doors, because they're all enriching themselves. Capitalism didn't fail. Capitalism was usurped because it was too challenging. And they all just thought they'd start printing money and making it anyway. And just so you guys know, listen, I'm as ardent a free market capitalist guy as you can get. But just watching this whole Boeing, it's just disgusting to me. And they're not Boeing. They don't do the stock buyback plan to benefit the people who actually get the planes in the air. You know, I wonder how many machinists have been on the 140-foot Boeing yacht. Have you seen that? I think it's larger than 140 feet. It's massive. Have you seen this, Darren? Something like, it's like a $100 million yacht or something. How many of the machinists have been on that yacht?
Wow, I'm looking at it now.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, the thing is massive. How many machinists have been on that yacht?
I reckon not that many, Zach.
Probably not that many. That's right. Think Muhlenberg and his buddies been on there?
Sure.
Probably laughing, drinking $5,000 bottle of champagne while they award themselves another $5 billion in stock options.
Probably buy that thing with their bonus.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, the bonuses that they get apparently no matter what, right? I mean, if a machinist made that kind of error, do you think he'd be worried about not getting his bonus?
Yeah.
He'd be worried about his job. And that company throw him under the bus so fast he wouldn't be able to see straight. Just disgusting. Anyway, I had a whole thing planned on China. We're going to push it off for next week because a mentor of mine, my uncle, gave me some fascinating stuff. Big old thick stack of new data to back up this China discussion we've been having lately and to update you guys on a lot more of the facts, because I don't want you thinking we're just disseminating fake news or we're being, you know, irrational or whatever, or, you know, getting all excited politically and not paying attention to the facts. I'm still scratching my head as to how this doesn't come out. And then the other reason why we're going to push the China discussion off is because I would be remiss. I'm just laughing to myself right now, because when you do a finance radio show on the weekend, you know, it should be based a little bit more on marketing, right? Trying to get people to call you to get, and I, like I said before, if we don't inform you what's going on, you know, do the right things. Business side takes care of itself. But Amy Robach, you know, the reporter,
ABC
yeah,
anchor.
Reporter for ABC. I'm sure most of you guys listening to it saw the clip. And my jaw dropped when I saw the clip, not because I was surprised. I think those of us in the know, I was sitting there trying to recall. I knew who Jeffrey Epstein was as early as 2005, 2006. They had the FAA plane logs of Jeffrey Epstein as early as, when did they have those, Darren?
Oh, right when the story was coming to fruition. But I don't know how long ABC had them. 2016, I think, is when they were saying they had a bunch of info on him.
Yeah, but this stuff was open knowledge back in 06, 07. Yeah. I mean, I remember for a long time ago and just shaking my head at the fact that nobody looked into this guy.
I can play the clip for you if you want to be a news show.
Well, you know what? Why not? Dial it up. I'd like to see it. We've never done that on the show before, so might as well do it. For those of you that didn't hear it, I just think it's really important, because it's amazing to me how fast this Epstein story disappeared.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways. We were so afraid we wouldn't be able to interview Kate and Will that also quashed the story. And then Alan Dershowitz was also implicated in, because of the planes. She told me everything. She had pictures. She had everything. She was in hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton. We had everything.
See, and
so she was caught on a hot mic at right. her anchor chair saying that stuff.
And saying what we all know, right? Saying what we all know. And this is one of the reasons, I'm not trying to make a pivot back to finance, you guys, but this is one of the reasons that we focus on risk management, because I love this country and what this country is supposed to stand for as much or more than anybody else. I was described growing up as the all-American boy. But we have to stand up. And one of the reasons that we talk about risk management all the time is because if we're going to be really honest with ourselves, if there are those of us still that have moral fiber left, we know that something reeks. And it's not just one situation or the other. They're all alike. I'm not saying that Boeing executives or management is on the same level as Jeff. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is it's not the same song, but it's a similar tune. And if you want to be blind and you want to subject your retirement to all the risks out there because you want to put your head in the sand and you want to believe that everything's going to be fine because it always has, you're not looking close enough. And what do we know? We know that eventually the piper has to get paid. And there's a lot of risk out there. Because I believe these things are tied together, you guys. I believe that the source of American prosperity was in direct relation. We're not perfect. Not saying that. No country is. But I believe that our prosperity was directly tied to our being morally upright people for the most part, and at least pursuing the right things. That ain't happening near as much. And if you don't think that societal decay will lead into financial decay, you're lying to yourself. And we've got to prepare ourselves. I'm not calling for economic collapse. What I'm calling for is tough times. Tough times could result in serious inflation. I'm not talking like Weimar Republic. But you could see it create really high asset prices. That's why we talk about our bond replacement program. The way you fight inflation is you raise interest rates. You raise interest rates, bonds are going to get smoked. We talk about our defensive stock portfolios, right, that have layers of defense built into them. Why? Because it could go the other way. Maybe prices drop. Maybe we go through another 08, 09 time. And listen, if I'm wrong, if everything is fine, if it's all good and it's all going to work out, you're going to do better anyway because you're going to have a portfolio that's got more upside and less downside. But dang it, you guys, this isn't about just business. This isn't about us just getting more clients. This is about, are you betting the rest of your life because you want to think everything's okay? Wouldn't you rather know? Wouldn't you rather say, look, if Zach's wrong, and I tell this to clients all the time, I don't have a crystal ball, but if Zach's wrong, you're still going to be great. As a matter of fact, you're going to have more upside, less fees. But if we're right, if this time is no different, if gravity still exists, if stock markets don't go up forever, if the Federal Reserve can't print money ad infinitum and keep bailing out the economy left and right, and it breaks, we can look at our clients' confidence and say, you're going to be okay. You're not going to have to go back to work. You're not going to have to get another job. You're not going to have to quit funding your grandkids. We got to think long term. And we can do it. We don't need to give up the upside. There's a better way. And the reason I'm imploring you to do it is because we found a way to do it without costing you something. You don't have to sit in cash. We don't have to build up gold. We're not calling for any craziness like that. What we're calling for is proper risk management. So if it all goes to heck in a handbasket, you're fine. If it keeps going up, you're going to be even better. That's what a retirement portfolio should look like. And if you want to know how we do it, come to this class next week, November 16th, Bellevue Hyatt, 9 to 11. Going to be a blast. Going to talk some economics, going to run you through our financial planning process, our whole thing we ran Dory and his wife through. Call us 866-779-RISK. You can go to the website, Bulwark Capital Management, sign up online. You can email us directly. You can call and get a portfolio review.
You can submit your portfolio to us online. We can go over it over the phone. Look, and maybe you don't end up becoming a client, but if one thing I want you to know from this show is that we're just trying to help. We really are. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK. We got to run. Have a great weekend. Go Hawks. We'll see you next weekend. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.